Do 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 do. I think I just copied a Nintendo copyright theme song. But still, welcome to the One On Me podcast. My name is Ryan.
And my name is Jordan.
Today we are going to be talking about weird games that we love or loved. Or at least we think we do. That was going to be our main topic.
Yeah, but before we get into that, we're going to be talking about what we're playing. And then after we talk about what we're playing, we're going to be talking about some news.
Yeah, just some. We always like to talk about a few things that I think we care about. Not necessarily the biggest things always, but just some things that maybe interest us.
Yeah, you know, we try to just do things that we feel people would be interested in. Because, you know, there's tons of other places that report on every little bit of news. And so we just try to gather the most interesting things in our minds.
Circle. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, let's see. You have the list? Well, I guess we both do.
Yeah. So, what you been playing lately?
I've been playing a lot of, not a lot, but over the past week and a half, I started playing some TCGs and card games.
Okay.
Been playing a lot. I play a Pokemon. We both play Pokemon, the card game. But recently, I started playing Gwent a little bit. I'm not that good at it yet. I don't have that many cards. But the main card game I was playing was this new Dragon Ball Super card game. I think it came out last year.
Yeah.
Me and Jake, the guy who was on the last podcast, started playing that a lot. It's really interesting.
I've heard good things about that. I want to get into it just because I like collecting stuff and I like Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
So I might have to just buy some packs. Cause
it's kind of like Magic the Gathering and Pokemon combined a little bit.
Okay.
You have like a commander, and then you have prize cards like in Pokemon.
Okay, that's interesting. That's cool. Maybe they'll invest in a digital edition one day.
Yeah, that would be nice. I could see it if it takes off, but it's like 6 months old or something.
Okay.
As far as the traditional video games go, I'm still plucking away at Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah, what do you think so far?
The more I play it, the more I like it.
Yep, I haven't played it in probably like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. I've been really just trying to play my Switch more. It's hard having all these awesome video games. I feel like I'm neglecting them.
But, I know what you mean.
I played some more Mario, Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch, and
oh yeah,
I think I beat
that.
Let's see, I just got to what is it? The city. I haven't gone there yet, but I unlocked
New Donk City.
Yep. So yeah, I just beat the jungle.
So you're not that far in.
No, not really. I just beat the jungle world, and then and that's the last thing I played. It just unlocked the city.
You said you haven't played Ni No Kuni 2 in a week or two.
Yeah.
How far are you into that?
Chapter four.
What is that? Is that I think you're farther than me. I'm about maybe 10 hours in, 8 to 10 hours in, somewhere in there.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm like 15 hours in.
I just got to the gambling city.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're one chapter before me. So
okay.
I'm the chapter after that. Yeah, it's interesting. I thought things were going to go differently in that city, but they didn't, which was I was okay with. But, you know, it was definitely a big clap to the development team and the story.
There's a freaking helicopter going off or something.
I don't know. That's interesting.
If anybody can hear that, I apologize. I don't know what that was. Holy crap.
That sounded insane. But yeah, I need to get back to playing Ni No Kuni 2, but I don't know, I guess this is the way I think of it is, like, I don't want to just dive into it, and I want to like, enjoy it, and so I don't want to just breeze my way through it, I want to, like, take my time. So the way I play it is I do, like, a chapter, and then I'll stop and play something else kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And kind of digest what happened in that chapter and whatnot. Obviously, I've been playing Overwatch a good bit. Not really quick play. I've been playing a lot of deathmatch. Just
nice.
Just practicing different characters and stuff, and just kind of.
I played a little bit the other night, a couple nights ago. I got kicked a couple times, so I was like, you know, once again, I can't play competitive.
Yeah. So I picked up Pokken again this morning. I've been playing through that. Just the story mode. Yeah. What? Just trying to...
What is the story mode in that? Is it story mode? I didn't...
Yeah, it's like a traditional campaign mode where...
Like in other fighting games?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's a bad guy, and in this case, it's Shadow Mewtwo, so it's like an evil Mewtwo. Right. And you're like a new trainer with a Pokemon, which is kind of, you know, messed up if you think about it. Like, this is different than, like, a Pokemon battle. Like, these are, like, Pokemon that are fighting in, like, a ring. So
yeah.
it's kind of, like, way more evil than normal Pokemon. But, yeah, and so you're like a new person to the town, and they're like, we'll teach you how to battle. And then you go through like the tutorial and whatnot and learn how to battle, and then work your way up through the league and then become like, you know, like this, their version of like an Elite Four kind of a thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In fighting terminology.
And that's so cool. Yeah, I've seen a little bit on that. I don't know. I'm not very good at fighting games. I kind of want to get back in. I was watching somebody stream Injustice 2 yesterday. I kind of want to get back into that.
I want to play that game so bad because it has two of my favorite characters in it, but I haven't bought it yet.
It's really good. I need to beat the story mode. I've heard the story mode's really good too.
Yeah, they did a lot of good things with that game.
Also, I don't have PlayStation Plus right now because I just don't want to spend the money.
That's a thing. That is a thing.
It's nice. One thing about playing on PC is you don't have to spend extra money on PlayStation Plus or Xbox.
That's true.
Gold or whatever.
You just pay for your internet bill.
Exactly. That's all you have to worry about. Man, I still want to get God of War. The game...
I know. I have to, like, block certain people, like, soft block certain people on social media and YouTube and stuff just so I don't see their content, because people are churning out videos and stuff about this game. And
there's
like,
an ad on this... I'm on IGN, .com. There's an ad just in the top. God of War bundle. It's, maybe after I beat Neo Kony 2, I can sell that and pick up God of War.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe.
God of Thor.
God of Thor.
God of Thor. I don't have a lot of time like this, so I think that's all the games I've been playing.
Yeah, recently. Same here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely interested in some of the news portions of that. Some of these I've never even heard of.
We got a few.
Nintendo gets a new president.
Oh, yeah, you didn't know about this?
No.
Like, okay, so as everyone here probably knows, Iwata passed away a few years ago. And after, I think he died of cancer. And Nintendo obviously had to replace him. So, his name is the old one, not the new one, was Tatsumi Kimishima.
You did a pretty good job of pronouncing that.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know how well I'm going to do on the other ones. But he stepped down. He wasn't fired or anything. I think he's getting on up there in years, and he just kind of stepped down. And the man who's replacing him is Shuntaro Furukawa.
That's how I would have pronounced it. So.
Like I said, the other man is like in his 70s, but this guy is in like, he's like 45, 46, so he's a young buck. He's like as old as Iwata was when he started.
Okay.
That's
a good looking man.
I don't think he has, let's see, I don't think he has as much experience like directly with games as Iwata. But I think he had some stuff to do with a lot of stuff, like important stuff though. Let's see. Yeah, he's 46 years old, like I said.
I like that, you know, I kind of feel that Nintendo has such an established fan base right now. They could put out pretty much anything and people love it.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely have some really good developers on their side, and you know, they could smash up anything they want. I mean, they have tons of awesome stuff coming out soon.
He's the sixth president in Nintendo's 128-year history.
Well, dang. I didn't... Man.
Yep. Okay. They do not replace him unless they have to.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Iwata died in 2015. I was trying to find what... what all this guy's done.
I know, I haven't found a lot about him, but I'm sure he'll do a good job.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to talk about there, really.
I like that Valve bought...
Go ahead.
So Valve buys Firewatch developer Campo Santo. And if you haven't played Firewatch, it's a pretty interesting game. It's a survival game that is done beautifully. Yeah, I personally haven't played it.
It's like, I don't know, it's like what people call a walking simulator, kind of.
Yeah.
And there's I haven't played it either. I've had it on my PC for like 2 years. What it kind of is like, there's a mystery going on. It starts out normal enough, but then as you go along in the game, like some stuff starts happening. Like you see some people in the park that you don't really know why they're there or what they're doing. It starts to get a little creepy, basically.
Yeah, Valve plans to leave the team intact, rather than absorbing the studio and reassigning its employees to other projects. But the independent developers are already enjoying Valve's perks. We've heard that in the past week that some employees got to attend Valve's annual retreat to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And the studio will relocate to Seattle soon.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that I've been hearing that they did move, I guess, or not move, but decide to sell, is because Seattle's way cheaper than... Well, they were in San Francisco.
Yeah, it is. Well, you want to talk about this new, I guess, Harry Potter mobile game that just kind of appeared?
Yeah, I mean, it was, people have known about it, but I guess it's not as big as something like Pokemon Go or anything. But yeah, I'll talk about it. I actually played it for a couple hours. From what I can tell, I'm not that far in, but it seems not that bad. I know people are complaining a lot about microtransactions and having to wait hours and hours, though, to get their stuff.
I did download it, and I played it for like 30 minutes, and then I got pretty bored just because I was like, I didn't like how much the game held your hand. And I was just kind of like, I was like, just let me do the stuff. Like, I can figure out the mechanics of a mobile game. It's okay.
Yeah, it is. And so, I mean, most mobile games are like that because they're having to adhere to the lowest common denominator.
That's also true. But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, there's another mobile game out there for people to enjoy and play.
Yeah,
it's Harry Potter, so you can't really be mad about it.
It actually takes place before Harry Potter, if someone is wondering how that all worked.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even pay attention to that. I kind of just clicked
until it let me. Yeah, they actually talk about how Harry Potter is safe, and then years from now he'll attend Hogwarts.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I still can't find a lot about this Nintendo's new president.
It's okay. I'm sure they'll come up with some scandalous information on him soon.
Yeah, Kotaku says Nintendo's next president likes golf story, lived in Germany, and has a famous dad. I can't find games he worked on or anything. I'm sure I probably could, but yeah.
So, what's this story about a free copy of Witcher? Like free stuff.
Okay, so this is really going to be short. Unless they've taken it down, you can get a free copy of The Witcher. This is from GameSpot. With Gwent, the card game on PC. So you can download Gwent from GOG, I think is it GOG or whatever. And there'll be an option to download The Witcher free for PC.
Okay, cool.
Yep, that's pretty much the end of that story. Like,
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, like if you like The Witcher 3, I'm sure you'll like The Witcher. And
so
Gwent's also great.
That's true. I've watched some people play it. It's a really good game. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is coming to the Switch.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love Donkey Kong. I love, and I hope recently Tropical Freeze was very, very good.
I haven't. I didn't realize it was a Wii game until I started looking it up about
Wii
coming
U.
to a Switch. Well, yeah, sorry, Wii U, because I didn't have one of those.
Yeah, not many people played it. No, I hated. I loved a lot of the games on it, but I hated having to play it.
Yeah, it. You know, it definitely seems like a a good thing. You know, I'm all for being able to take a Donkey Kong game in my pocket.
Oh yeah, well, so. Yeah, it's a big pocket, but yeah, it should be out by the time this podcast releases. I think it comes out the Friday of the week we're recording this, so it should be out and ready to go by the time this comes out. It's a very good game, a very hard game, but very pretty as well. Like, Donkey Kong games are always hard, but they're always very nice, feel very nice to play.
For all you people that want some more pretty stuff in your life, Destructoid is giving you
Well, they're not giving it, but
they're doing a giveaway.
No, Destructoid isn't giving it away. They're just the ones who reported it.
Oh, you can go to starting on May 4th to May 27th, you can go to GameStop and grab either of them. That being Yveltal and Xerneas.
Yes, those are the legendary Pokemon, for those of you who don't know, for a Pokemon X and Y.
Yeah, Yveltal is linked to Pokemon Ultra Sun or Pokemon Sun, and Xerneas is linked to Pokemon Ultra Moon or Pokemon Moon.
Interesting.
Next up in June is a shiny Zygarde, followed by Tornadus and Thundurus in July. Groudon or Kyogre in August. Latios or Latias in September. Zekrom or Reshiram in October, and finally Ho-Oh or Lugia in November.
So for those of you who want to get your legendary Pokemon fix, just keep up to date. Probably just follow GameStop or whoever's giving that out, and I'm sure they'll release it monthly, whoever the Pokemon will be for that month.
So Baguette's here. It's Season 10 officially on Overwatch. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so Bridget or Brigitte or Baguette or whatever her name is she's out on the competitive, and I still hate her.
Yeah, I haven't. It popped up this morning, maybe I was watching a YouTube video, but it was like Season 10 is here, and I'm like, that's cool. I don't want to talk about her, or I don't want
to
look at her.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say. Her shield bash is broken and disgusting, and it's just another hero that Blizzard has released that is a no-brain, no-aim hero that feels like it's punishing people who are trying to get good at heroes to take skill.
Yeah, she is definitely special, man. She loves whacking people with that shield. I picked her up for a deathmatch the other day, and I came in and, like, first place had like, I think it was like 7 kills or 8 kills.
Yeah.
And I climbed to, like, the third place spot pretty quickly. Just, I wrecked a Winston.
Oh, yeah, she destroys Winston.
Like, he was, like, trying to Primal Rage, and I was like, that's cute, shield bash, and, like, beat him to death.
Yep.
And, like, he was almost to a health pack, and I was like, I'm going to throw my lance at you, dead.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I was like,
I hate
it
so much.
It is insane.
You said there was something, Sombra,
I just put Sombra defeats everyone.
Oh, okay, I thought you were trying to say that there was a new Sombra.
No, I just put Sombra defeats everyone because Fitzy is a professional Sombra player, or a semi-professional Sombra player.
Okay.
And he's talking about Sombra and stuff. He, like, he's a really good Sombra player.
Oh, okay, so just everyone know that Bridget's out.
Yep, everybody knows that Bridget's out, and she is annoying, yes.
Okay, this last bit of news that I have is, it might be a little old by the time this comes out, but Detroit Become Human, the developer Quantic Dream is suing over bad press. So there is they're a French developer, and there was a French newspaper that reported that they were like overworking their employees and maybe even like some abuse charges were gonna be charged or filed or something like that. And the developer was like, no, we're not going to sit down and let you slander our name, which has been happening like a lot. Seems like whether or not some of these are true, that's not what I'm talking about here. But it's just that Detroit, their developer, Quantic Dream, has actually stood up and said, no, you're not going to just say whatever you want about us.
Well, that's good for him. You know, some people just take stuff, lying down. A lot of people
have been taking it lying down lately. And some, I don't know, some journalists have been saying they agree, some saying they don't. It seems like a lot of people are saying they don't, though, or like it's a bad time. But I think it's a good time as any. Like, their game's coming out soon, and you don't want anyone to think that you're overworking or hurting your employees.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants another No Man's Sky.
No.
Or anything like
that. No, I mean, they didn't hurt the employees, but they did, like, you know, some sketchy stuff about, you know, lying and stuff, basically. Yeah, so. Or stretching the truth.
Yeah, you know, making games is not easy, no, even though some people make it look to be.
Yeah.
But
behind the scenes, it's very taxing. And
it is, yeah.
Don't just, like, when you hear a rumor, just don't always believe it. Always take it with a grain of salt.
And, you know, do your research about these things. These people are, yes, this is their job and it's their passion and they're trying to make a work of art that'll help people, you know, enjoy life a little bit more.
So don't just accuse someone of, don't just defame someone, basically.
Exactly. You know, especially with technology nowadays, sadly, that's how it's become. People just can quickly go at somebody on Twitter and be like, so-and-so said this, is this true? It gets shared and retweeted and people are like, well, that's the truth, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
But onward to the main topic of today, weird games we love.
Yeah, so this is just going to be, not necessarily that the games are weird themselves, like weird gameplay or anything. It's just games that you don't really think of when you maybe write your favorite games lists.
Yeah, so you want to kick it off since you have the oldest console?
Sure. The first game here I have on my list is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone for GameCube.
Okay.
I
was actually referring to Snowboard Kids 2.
Oh, I can talk about it. Okay.
Because it's older than the GameCube.
Yeah, sure. I can talk about Snowboard Kids. It's released on the N64. Obviously in the 90s. Basically what you do in this game is you snowboard and you're these weird little chibi kids. It's very weird.
Oh, I remember this game.
There's a bunch of different... It's like those, kind of like those old snowboarding games, what are they called? SX or whatever.
SPX,
Except way toned down.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of like a kart racer almost, in that sense.
I like that.
It's made by Atlus, which is really weird. The guys who made Persona.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, I sold my copy last year. Never thought I'd be talking about it. And I realized that, yeah, the people who made Persona and Catherine made this game. Very weird. There's multiplayer, obviously. Well, I guess everything had multiplayer if it could back then.
Yeah.
It's very arcadey, I guess it's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, that's what it was reminding me of when I was looking at it, those arcade snowboard games you'd play.
Yeah, it's like it's limited as to the tricks and whatnot, but I guess for back in the day, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I remember really liking it. It's got, like, mediocre reviews, I think, but...
Yeah, I definitely like the graphics of it. I like
that style. It's very goofy.
So...
Yeah, you can race your friends and stuff. Just, like, tricks, courses and speed, like, challenges and stuff.
Speed runs, yeah.
Apparently there were boss characters. I don't remember that.
Huh, that's a boss character in a snowboard game.
No,
that's interesting.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah, okay. IGN says Snowboard Kids 2 plays much as the original did, meaning it's Mario Kart on ice. Like I said, it's like a kart racer almost.
Yeah,
it says deformed oldest... little kids on here.
The oldest game on my list is Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. So it was a PlayStation 2.
Wait. This says game. Maple Story is yours.
And it ran... What?
Hello?
Hey, no, we're good. It just kind of cut out for a minute. What were you saying?
You said it says Maple Story is the oldest one on here.
Is it?
It says 2003. But then it says Tyler Tasmanian Devil or Tiger is 2002 through 2005.
Oh, it's supposed to be 2015.
Oh, okay. They re-released it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Well, no, the fourth one came out in 2015. But, yeah. So the oldest game is Tyler the Tasmanian Tiger that released for the PlayStation 2. It was Chrome Studios.
I've heard of the game, but I've never heard of the studios.
So I just realized a couple of days ago that it's on Steam, and I'm definitely going to buy all of them. Because, yeah, they released it on PlayStation, and they put it on GameCube, and then Xbox, and then Steam later. But
that's very odd.
The main, I'm not going to go over all four of the games, mostly because I never played the fourth one, but in a sense, it's had really cool music using, like, Australian sounds, so it'd be like dingo music, but, like, that'd be what the music's made out of, like, dingo sounds and stuff.
Yeah, there's, like, speedruns and stuff of this game at GDQ and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I love the game. You know, it's the coolest part of the game is he uses all these different kind of, like, enhanced boomerangs. Yeah. You know? So, like, there'll be, like, a fire one or, like, an ice one or one that you can remote control or one that detonates. But the whole premise of the game is it follows around this guy, you know, this Tasmanian tiger named Ty, and he searches for thunder eggs to power this machine.
Thunder eggs.
To locate these five scattered talismans to save his family, who are trapped in an alternate realm called the Dreaming.
Of course.
And so, yeah, of course. But the cool thing about this game is, as awesome as it was when it came out, when it first came out, the development team was only five people.
Wow.
And then it expanded to later to 45 people to help with level design and stuff like that. But I liked it a lot because I started playing it as I finished the tail end of Spyro, and it had that same kind of Spyro feel.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And, like, Spyro art style and whatnot. And, you know, I'm excited to play them again on Steam. Could you create your own characters in this Harry Potter game for the GameCube?
No, you played as Harry.
Oh, that's boring. No, nobody wants to play as Harry.
It was dope, man. You went around. It's very, I don't know, weird. Like, you went around and you did the, you know, what happened in the book and movie. But you could also just collect weird, like, there was Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans, and do you remember those, from the first book, the chocolate frogs?
Yep, had, like, I used to eat a lot of those.
The cards in the back.
Yeah, you could collect those.
You could collect the cards and everything, so you collected all those wizards and witches and, like, villains and stuff that you had to collect.
Okay.
And then there were, so the beans were the currency, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like, the Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Bean was the currency.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, you could, I don't think you could play, I think there were, like, some Quidditch levels and, but it's, pretty much an adventure game, I guess.
Okay.
You walked around, you learned new spells. It's just a very, very silly game. I just remember liking it a lot.
I feel like I played it at somebody's house when I went over there or something. Another game that's really silly that I'm not proud to say that I played was Maple Story. So Maple Story came out in 2003, and I started playing it in 2007. I remember I had an assassin, and I leveled it up to max level while playing with my friend. And then we just got bored with that, and then we started playing on a private server called Care Story in 2008. And the thing that made it really cool is it had, like, a karma system, so if you were, like, nice to players, you could get, like, different stuff. It was, like, a better version of Maple Story. You know, it had, like, rebirths and what they call super rebirths, so you could get to level 100 quicker than normal, and then you could just be, like, different classes. So you could be, you know, like, an archer with assassin skills, but use, like, a greatsword kind of a thing. So it really, you could really be whatever kind of character you wanted to, you know, like an all-in-one kind of a character. So it'd be really cool. You know, you could summon pets using the archer ability, or then, you know, like, fade away with the assassin ability, but also shoot lightning because, you know, you were a wizard in a past life kind of a thing.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah, it was really cool, and it was really awesome because when it came out, Pirates had just been released into the game, and so that was like a big thing too, you know, so you could like start off as a pirate and then like get to level 100 and then, you know, rebirth into an assassin and etc. and whatever, and you could use all the weapons and stuff. But sadly, you know, it's not around anymore because Nexon shut that down in 2009 with a cease and desist real quick.
That sounds like the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was, yeah, I'm not proud of it, but it was it was definitely a fun experience because it does not require a lot of computer power to run MapleStory.
There, you can buy Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which is a 17-year-old game, for $55 on Amazon.
I was thinking about clicking on that link. That is stupid. How much can you buy it on eBay for?
Probably
cheaper. Oh, man. You can buy a brand new one, factory sealed, for $99.99.
Oh, my gosh. I have that game.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I should sell it.
You should sell it. Man, people pay. Hey, I'll get you the Game Boy Color one for $1.
That sounds terrible.
You can play that. It's the same game, just for a Game Boy Color.
Like, what made it so good was all of, like, the little stupid stuff you could do. I doubt you could do that on the Game Boy version.
You probably couldn't. It's probably pretty lame. So, what's the next game you want to talk about? Dragon?
Talk about Dragon Fable, I guess, which is kind of, I don't know, my MapleStory, I guess.
Okay.
It's kind of, it's a free-to-play browser-based game.
Ooh, I like it.
It's like an RPG. Apparently it's made by Artix Entertainment. They would update it, like, weekly and stuff. It had, like, extra content that you could buy, all kinds of quests and stuff.
Oh, I used to play this game.
Yeah. So you're, like, introduced as the hero or whatever. And it's, like, it's, like, this, you know, the Destined or whatever, the Digi-Destined.
I'm making an account right now.
Man, I kind of want to. Like, you're supposed to become a dragon lord.
Yeah.
I don't remember a whole lot about it.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been a year since I played it. They would have, like, Halloween events, Christmas events, stuff like that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's clearly not the best game. But I just had a lot of fun with it. I think that's why it's on the list. It's this weird game. It's like Harry Potter that was like a 7 or an 8 probably that I just had a lot of fun with.
Well, I just made an account so we can play sometime.
I don't know. I don't even know if it's if you can play together.
Well, we'll find that out.
Yeah. It says single player, but I don't know. The Wikipedia page might be lying. Like, you would it's basically like, I keep saying like. It's basically a, Lord of the Rings-esque world with the dragons and trolls and stuff like that. I never got that far. I probably made the game accounts like 10 times, but never beat it. Because it was free, so who cares?
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt with, like, MapleStory and stuff. I kind of just got burnt out with it, and I think that's when I started playing S4 League, so S4 League, I started playing it in 2010, even though it started in 2007. So their developer's name is Game On Studios. It's a Korean free to play.
Oh boy, I'm looking at it
get
now.
This third person shooter. So I stopped playing it because it became like a pay-to-win thing. Mm-hmm. You could get like better guns and weapons and stuff from the cash shop, and I was like, I don't want to spend money on that.
Yeah.
And also my internet connection wasn't the best, but the core theme of S4 League, which is how it gets its title, is Stylish Esper Shooting Sports. Jeez. And so it's...
Wait, Esper doesn't start with an S?
It does when they spell it E capital S P-E-R. Oh my gosh. So stylish, it had a cutting edge anime style, you know, featuring like iconic stages.
Iconic?
And, yeah. Iconic stage settings, high flying acrobats, and like an urban new age soundtrack. And so it was pretty cool. You know, you could definitely you could customize your characters and different stuff. And then Esper, the whole thing behind that is just, it's a magical source of power, which the game's characters, called Espers, performed, like, supernatural abilities with, kind of a thing. They could jump really high and, like, move really fast, kind of a thing.
Why didn't they just make it a word that actually started with the letter S?
I don't know. I don't know, man. They're Korean. Who knows?
Guess
so. I don't know. So, but I enjoyed playing this a lot. I actually went back and played it, like, I think, like, 2005. I, like, downloaded it and tried playing it again, and it was just, I was just like, nope, I don't want to do this again. Why did I download this again? I can't play this game anymore. But it was fun. Well, it lasted, you know, it was a cool...
What if it's still up?
It's... I think it is still up. Like,
oh my gosh. That was a PSP version.
No, that didn't actually get developed.
Okay. I'm looking at it says S4 League Portable.
Yeah, it didn't get up. But according to their official website, I think it's... Yep, it's still around. It is still going. Yeah, they had scheduled maintenance like a couple days ago. So
interesting.
I might have to download this and try it again because I really enjoyed it a lot. It was really fun. So, oh, I just thought of another game I could have put on the list.
I don't want to get killed by a waifu.
Yeah. So another game that I could totally put on the list that's probably never coming back is called Hero Wars. It's a Korean game that's kind of just like a top down. It's like a Diablo game,
yeah,
where you just kill a whole bunch of stuff and, you know, have a cool looking character and whatnot. But I really like Hero Wars a lot, but they canceled it, kind of a thing. Well, not canceled it, they just put it on hold, but, you know, ultimately that means they canceled it.
I feel like you have a lot more of these games than me. Like, I feel like a lot of people have heard of the games on my list, but who the heck has heard of S4 League?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it did. I mean, their Twitter has, you know, a couple followers. I mean, like...
Yeah, I know. I'm, like, struggling to try to think of something new to talk about these games that I'm talking about because a lot of people have played, you know, Harry Potter games. But what the heck is S4 League? I'm, like, stuttering over League, here baby. Trying to think of something new and insightful that GameSpot or IGN hasn't said in 20 years of these games being out. And you're like, so let me just describe the game because no one's ever heard of it, so I can just say what no one ever said.
It's an awesome game, man. I like playing, I play what looks cool to me.
I mean, I don't blame you. I'm just saying it seems like you're having an easier time because you can just say whatever you want because no one's ever heard of it.
Well, you can say whatever you want about Harry Potter.
I know. I'm just saying I want to try to be, I don't know, I'm being stupid, but.
It's okay. You know? People enjoy all sorts of different games.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying. Oh my, I mean, I could have talked a little bit more about Dragon Fable.
Dude, talk about Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, I can talk about. I played
that
this,
game. That game's awesome. I love it.
I think I still have it actually here in my drawer. Hold on. Let's see.
Are you looking for it right now? They can't see it. This is a podcast.
Fine. I do have 2 copies of Leaf Green.
Oh, well, you don't need those.
So, I do too. So, Dragon Ball Boo's Fury. I was going to talk about Tenkaichi 2, but I figured a lot of people had actually heard of that, so I decided to talk about Boo's Fury, which I'm sure a lot of people have also heard of that. Okay, so it's like a top-down adventure, kind of like the Zelda games on the GBA, I think.
Okay.
Where you kind of did the Boo saga in the Dragon Ball series. You could fly and just do what you did in the Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I remember they tried real hard to get people to buy this game because they bundled it together with Dragon Ball GT Transformation. And I was like, nope. It's a terrible Dragon Ball GT game that nobody talks about.
A lot of people don't like it. Yeah. Let's see. Dragon Ball Boo's Fury. It's been years since I played this.
No, I mean, it did come out in 2004.
Yeah.
Like, this, man, Boo is just such an awesome. I remember
I
when he,
Boo,
you know.
I love Boo, man. My Dragon Ball deck is a Boo deck.
Yeah, I love Boo. He's definitely not my favorite villain.
No.
Or anti-hero, you know, whatever you want to call him. But
he's a villain.
Man,
he's a villain.
When he came out of nowhere and just started wrecking people, it was insane, especially in his kid form. It's like,
man,
oh.
Yeah, Kid Boo is legit. Like Dragon Ball GT transformation. I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah, it's real bad.
There's no, like, I was looking at this earlier. There's not really any articles from any gaming websites about this game. It's all, like, no. ROMs and fan websites.
During that time of gaming, I feel like a lot of people, I mean, yeah, there were gaming websites and stuff, but they were covering consoles. They weren't really, you know, covering handhelds and stuff, you know, because it was kind of just something you did with your friends. Like, hey, I got this new game, check it out. And they're like, oh, man, you're so cool. Yeah. You have a new Game Boy game.
Nobody wanted to cover Booze Fury, I guess.
So, I like this game. I would happily buy it if they made a new one.
Yeah, I mean, I like the, all those Dragon Ball games for the Game Boy Advance. There's the Legacy of Goku. Man, the game is so good, too. Like, they were all released in the early 2000s, like 2000 to 2005.
Yeah, I've been thinking about getting Dragon Ball Z Fighters for the PC, but I'm just like, do I want to spend $60 to make myself cry?
What is it? Dragon Ball what?
Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Oh, Fighters Z. Got you, yeah. Yeah, it looks awesome, but I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, Boo series, the third game in the series, apparently the final one, released in 2004. It's obviously the final saga in Dragon Ball until they made Super and GT, which isn't really a canon. But you just kind of play out the story. It had like new extra scenes or something that probably aren't canon either.
Probably not. Yeah, like, but you know, for a Game Boy game, they packed a lot of art in there.
Oh, it's a really pretty game, I think.
It is.
You could play like as Gotenks and Gogeta and stuff.
I loved when they started doing the fusion stuff. Oh, it was really cool.
I hope I find this game so I can play it again.
I know. So a game that isn't really pretty, but it's super silly, is World of Goo.
I never played this. I've heard about it, but I've never played it.
So I bought it because I found the game that was like unopened at like a thrift store for like a couple dollars.
What'd you play it on?
I played it on PC.
Okay. I know it as Wii.
I mean, yeah, it came, it was on, it's on Wii, it's on Mac, it's on Linux, it's on iOS, Android, BlackBerry OS, it's on the Daggum. Switch, I mean.
It's on like BlackBerry?
Yeah, it's on BlackBerry OS, their BlackBerry tablet that was out for a year and supported for like a year, and then it went away forever. So.
Macaulay Culkin wants to be in Avengers 4.
I mean, I'm not mad at that.
Can Macaulay Culkin fix the events of Avengers Infinity War? Probably not.
Have you seen him?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I'm going to go see it Thursday.
Okay, we won't talk about that or say anything about that, but World of Goo, pretty much you play as these little goo balls, and you have to like construct different bridges and different ways to get them to the next level for them to be sucked up into the vacuum in the sky to get back to their city, kind of a thing. So, there's like a story of it and stuff, but pretty much you just gotta get the goo balls back home kind of a thing. And it gets more challenging as you go kind of a thing, you know, there's like gravity in the game and whatnot. And so, it's pretty interesting with, you know, how they did it. I thought it was gonna be stupid, but, I mean, there's only 48 levels, so.
Yeah, I've seen it. I think it was pretty well liked.
It was, yeah, you know, it was, I just kind of got it. When I bought it was back when they did the orange box. Okay. So I bought that and like World of Goo and stuff. And so
interesting. Was World of Goo on the orange box?
No, it wasn't. It was separate. Okay, that's right. You know, that's the orange box had like Half Life.
Games, right?
Yeah. So I wish they'd still do stuff like that.
It would be nice. Well, Valve is making games again now, so maybe they'll do something like that.
I know. I'm so happy about that.
I can move on to
even if we'd never get Half-Life 3, I'm okay
with
this.
Like, Billy Hatcher.
I don't think
for the
we
GameCube.
Will, but you know, they.
It's like a.
They do a really good job at Valve. They make.
What's up?
I said Valve does a really good job. Like it, pretty much, if it has their name on it, I'll play it. It does not matter what it is.
Yeah, they're coming out with a card game sometime soon.
I'll play that too. You know, I keep thinking of how much better Watch Dogs would be if Valve would have made it. So
I don't know about that, but I do know about Billy Hatcher and the giant egg.
That little chicken boy for the GameCube?
Yeah, he is a chicken boy for the GameCube, that's right.
Okay.
It was made by the Sonic Team, which is weird.
I know. It's some good-looking art in there. Some good-looking art.
It's like Sonic. It's came out in 2003. Said developed by Sonic Team and published by Sega. What the heck? It came out from Windows and Mac. It came out on Mac.
Well, you know, they need to play games too.
No. Buy a PC. Or just play on console. It's like Sonic-esque, of course, because it was made by Sonic Team. Everyone is like chicken people, though.
I want to play this. This little dude looks cool.
It's really fun. Me and my brother and sister used to play it a lot together. Like, we'd take turns watching each other.
He has some weird named friends. Chick Poacher.
That's...
Roly Roll.
Bantam Scrambled.
What?
This is so bizarre.
His character strongly resembles that of Sonic the Hedgehog. In fact, if you look at the box art of Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg and Sonic Adventure 2, you'll see that Billy's pose is very similar to Sonic's.
No, man. He's even got, like, the almost like the Sonic Hedgehog mohawk thing going on.
I know. So, I'm surprised. Who knows? Maybe in a new, maybe he'll become a DLC character in Sonic Forces. That'd be cool.
They need to just re-release it. Billy actually needs to be a character in Smash Brothers.
Oh, I was thinking that. I would totally fight this kid. Like, you know, it looks pretty cool. I mean, yeah, he's just a kid in like a legendary chicken suit, but it looks kind of fun.
So stupid. He's a kid in a legendary chicken suit.
Speaking of things that are legendary but not as good as this game, I played a MMORPG by the name of Revelation Online. I don't play it anymore.
Revelation Online.
Because, yeah, so it's a... So Revelation Online is developed by NetEase, and the only reason I played it is because the Cry started playing it on stream, and I won his like raffle giveaway thing with the Founders Pack, and then I upgraded my Founders Pack, and I liked the game so much at the time that I made a amino for it, and found a group of people to play with.
Made an amino for it?
Yeah, I made an amino for it and got some pretty followers from that and whatnot, and had like a group of people. And then we moved to Discord and stuff, and we had, you know, a great little guild and whatnot, you know. And obviously, like any game, you know, life happens and stuff, and we all kind of just went our separate ways with the game, and the guild kind of disbanded and stuff. But it was really grindy, and the cash shop had some game progression items I didn't necessarily agree with, kind of a thing. But I dumped some pretty good heavy funds in that game. Yeah, it was bad. It was I think at least like $500.
Oh boy.
But yeah, I think I'm sure it was maybe more than that, but it was less than, you know, 800. So, jeez. But it was just like one of those things where, you know, I had extra money and the guild needed stuff, and it was like, okay. So, but now I see that was a terrible mistake because it was for a video game.
I mean, it wasn't a good idea. So,
but, you know, I played that for a while. I don't play it anymore. I should, you know, download it again and log back in and make sure I still have all my awesome, cool weapons and stuff, because I was a gunslinger in that game. So I have some really cool, like, Year of the Dragon guns and, you know, Christmas guns and stuff like that and whatnot. Yeah, man. MMORPGs, they'll get you.
Yeah,
they'll
get you. You got all these, like, obscure MMORPGs or whatever they're called, MMOs or...
Yeah, dude, at the end of the day, that's, like, my heart. I love them. It's just,
I do
even
not,
though they're grindy, even though there's quests and stuff, there's just something about them that, you know, always brings me back to them, which is terrible. I shouldn't... I wish I would never have jumped on this boat, but I can't get off.
Well, my main thing is I don't want to talk to people. Like, oh, I play, yeah. If I'm going to talk, I just rather play Overwatch or something. But beyond that, like a shooter like that, I don't want to sit there and talk to people for hours on end.
Yeah, I guess it, you know, you just form friendships and stuff. Like, some of these people that I played Revelation with, I play Overwatch with now.
Okay.
Well, kind of casually. It's kind of hard because, you know, he lives in India and, you know, time zones and stuff are a thing. But, yeah, I definitely...
Man.
I think Overwatch is the game I play the most now, though. I definitely love it.
Yeah, I probably...
I don't see myself going pro anytime soon.
No.
or making top 500. But, you know, it's definitely... Yeah. There's so many different things you can do in Overwatch that it's just so enjoyable. And I definitely like it a lot.
Yeah.
So, I definitely don't... I regret calling it a TF2 remake.
Oh, you said...
Because it is not that at all.
I like that video you sent me of TFT versus Overwatch. It's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll link that in the show notes. I randomly saw it on Twitter, and I was like, this is going to be stupid. And it was so good. Especially if you're a TF2 fan like I am, and an Overwatch fan, and you know all the... that Carolina Reaper is coming back to get me. I know all the backstories of all the characters and whatnot. So, it was definitely... done really well. That gentleman or madam did a very good job of animating it and editing it together.
I'm just still looking at these weird games that you're talking about.
Oh, dude, yeah, we can play any of them you want together.
I think I'll just stick to Billy Hatcher.
Okay.
You said you played as a gunslinger.
Yeah, in Revelation Online, I played as a gunslinger.
Well,
yeah.
You just play as a sword mage.
So. I thought it would be interesting. We already had a sword mage, and we had, you know... But what happens is, in those games, you end up making alts. So I ended up having a sword mage and, you know, an assassin and, you know, all these different classes that I would just level up. And, you know, whatever we needed, I would just switch. You know, we all did that kind of a thing. We'd all just switch from character to character, class to class kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Based on what we needed for the raid or whatnot. And so I spent a pretty good bit of time. That's the only downside of playing MMOs. And stuff is you can't really afford, not in a money sense, but just in a time sense, you can't afford to play anything else because you're always doing something for it, whether it's daily quests or guild dailies or
grinding and
you
stuff,
know, grinding
yeah.
for materials or whatever, you know. So
you could like customize what you look and everything, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you can. There's different outfits and stuff you can get. Are you looking up Revelation?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's. I'll send you some screenshots and stuff.
I
want
to see them.
I mean, they're not okay. Yeah, you probably wouldn't.
Send them to me. Oh boy.
Yeah, you can like get. I have different stuff from being a founder of the game and stuff during the beta.
Yeah.
Of it and whatnot, and so like I have a pretty cool like grumpy cat mount thing. It's like a huge whale-sized cat that flies that you can. Hold like a whole guild of people own kind of a thing, and so I have some different custom items like that and stuff.
Like are you Kirito on this game?
No, I'm not Kirito on this game. I mean, there are people that do play a what are they called? Like those dual wielding people in that game, but no, I am not one of those. So I actually tried to make my character look like me.
Yeah, I usually do that. I don't know why. So. I got a message from an unknown center. It just says message.
Oh, man.
It just says message not found. What the...
That's weird.
Delete that.
Good job. That's interesting.
That's weird. Ebony, I've got like some more, a couple more, but...
Sure.
There was this, I don't have it written down on my notes here, but there was this Power Rangers game, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue.
I played that game. I liked it a lot.
It came out on June 1st, 2000. Wow, it came out on the N64, GameCube, Windows. I just played it on the PlayStation 1, I just remember. Playing that game so much. You, like, ran around and just played as the Power Rangers, pretty much. I remember that, like, you would become the Mega... What is it? Not the...
Megazord?
Megazord. Zoid, whatever it's called.
It's a Megazord.
And like at the end of the level, of course, you know, you became that, and then the monster would get up to some huge height and then just like brawl, just like in the show.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that game. It was a good time for that game to come out. So I was trying to think of like N64 games and stuff that I played that, you know, were different and whatnot. But I remember playing a lot of Spyro. And whatnot, and just Crash Bandicoot
I mean, most
style
of the games.
Games
I played weren't,
you know,
wouldn't be on this list, I don't think. And I obviously kind of struggled to think of as many, like, I guess obscure games would be the the best way to say it.
Yeah. Obscure games. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you're playing Revelation Online and whatever thing
you
say.
Yeah, you know, there's...
But, I mean, it's just because I play games that weren't as obscure, I guess.
Yeah, you know, there definitely is way more obscure games on PC.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really... Like, I played, like, educational games on my PC when I was younger.
Oh, speaking of educational games, one game that I played that I loved was, what's it called? Putt-Putt. Yeah, Putt-Putt Great Adventure or something.
Never heard of this. Of course I hadn't.
Putt-Putt. I had to look it up. Putt-Putt. Adventure game, PC. Yeah, Putt-Putt. So it's called Putt-Putt. That's what it's called.
It's called Putt-Putt.
Well, I mean, there's subcategories, but they were junior adventures by Humongous Entertainment for children 3 to 8. And there's a whole bunch of them. Putt-Putt joins the parade. Putt-Putt goes to the moon. Putt-Putt saves the zoo.
Interesting.
Putt-Putt travels through time. Putt-Putt enters the race. Putt-Putt joins the circus. And finally, the last one, Putt-Putt Pep's birthday surprise.
Oh, man. So,
but the one I played the most of... I don't know. I didn't play it, but I played a lot of Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo. He's a purple taxi, and he has to go through and save the zoo. Like, you know, there's like a snake that got out of its habitat, and it's like in the Arctic where the polar bears are, and it's like freezing. You have to bring it hot chocolate, and then like you got to bring like the elephant Cheetos and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a really weird game. Like,
I played like these Reader Rabbit games when I was young.
Yeah, but
I played this like little. You remember that show Little Bear?
Yeah,
I played a Little Bear game. You just like made a cake or something. I don't know.
Okay. Hey man, I made a cake on Cooking Mama once. It was real fun for the DS.
Oh yeah,
I liked that game.
It's
a good game.
Clue Finders. Oh man, this is the one I was trying to think of.
Clue Finders, like I Spy but digital,
I guess. I don't know.
Okay,
there was this game that had like these two kids, and this might be it. Clue, yes, this is it. Clue Finders. It's like forget about it. No, it's like a educational game where you played as these little kids. You had to like match tiles and add basic math and find, you know, stuff that we're trying to hide and stuff.
Huh. Okay.
Bringing back memories over here. The Clue Finders fourth grade adventures. Builds competence and problem solving skills for school.
Well, you know, look at you now. Now you're becoming a well-renowned podcaster journalist, man.
Yes. And then right beneath it, holy crap. It's just like this horrifying picture of someone getting shot in the face in a video game.
That's wonderful.
Why is this? Why? Jeez. It's just someone standing over somebody in a video game, like just like blew their head off with a shotgun, right underneath jump start typing.
They probably saw the ending of the Walking Dead Telltale game and they weren't happy about it, so they had to take it out on somebody. That's probably what happened.
Yes. I would think you would take it out on yourself, not somebody else.
I don't know. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of weird games out there where you can do a lot of crazy stuff, like Doki Doki Literature Club.
2590s computer games you forgot about playing.
Oh, well, what's on that
it's
list?
It's BuzzFeed.
I can't talk to you anymore.
I'm sorry, my computer's breaking down.
Yeah, I definitely don't like BuzzFeed at all. Like, in all seriousness, it is a cancer.
It's Magic School Bus. Oh man, I remember the Magic School Bus games.
Hey, I've been looking at that Magic School Bus on Netflix now, and I'm honestly thinking about watching it because it looks pretty cool.
I didn't even know there was a Magic School Bus on Netflix.
There's a new one, man. Miss Frizzle is looking pretty cool, pretty snazzy. Got like a new class, and there's like all these ethnic people in the class now. It's pretty interesting. So,
yeah, Magic School Bus.
I think it's called the Magic School Bus Rides Again or whatever. And I'm like, okay, Miss Frizzle.
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I liked the Civilization games. Yeah. Those are fun.
Yeah. So. I don't want to get like, man, there's a whole, I kind of want to.
There's a whole list.
Like do something on like these Roller Coaster Tycoon, or the, like the building not games? Not just that, but just games, like computer games from the 90s or something.
I'll do, we can do an School episode Bus, on Mike. I like that.
Duke Nukem. Myst,
oh man, Duke Nukem.
Abe's Odyssey. Backyard Football, like those like type of like games, like 90s PC games.
Well, maybe that can be our next episode.
Maybe, I don't know. We'll have to think about it.
Well, as always, everyone, thank you for listening so much. We appreciate each and every one of you putting us in your ears and going throughout your day or whatever you do, listening to us. We're grateful for you guys. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this hobby. It'd be just two people that are recording themselves and putting it up line.
Oh, also, real quick. Apparently, CD Projekt Red, who's the developer of The Witcher and the upcoming... correct, I'm blanking here. Cyberpunk 2077 is going to have a RPG to show off at E3.
Ooh, so I like the sound of
it'll
that.
It'll probably be Cyberpunk 2077. Just thought I'd throw that out there real quick before we ended.
Oh man, I've been waiting on that since I heard about it. I didn't. I'm sure I heard about it, and then I forgot about it, and then I heard about it again. But this is exciting. So yeah, there's always interesting news. You know, make sure you interact with us on Twitter. The podcast is at OneUpMePodcast on Twitter. You can find me at Aswaylock on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me at Ryan Divisions.
And you can always use the hashtag OneUpMePodcast on Twitter to interact with us. If you listen to us on iTunes, please feel free to leave us a review. Anything is welcome at all. Criticism or likes or dislikes or, you know, whatever you want to write on there. It's freedom of speech on the internet. So, keep gaming.
Oh, gosh.
What now?
Nothing. Just keep going.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell me that there's a flash sale on video games on Steam or something. Who knows?
Probably is.
Probably. Well, as always, everyone, you know, keep gaming and
play on. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?